Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Go for it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Flats and Shanks, the podcast, the Autumn Nation series, the officially unofficial Autumn Nation series review thing. And Shanks, I want to ask you a question to start with. Have you ever been on a train or sitting at home and gone to your Twitter followers and said, "Hey, Tweeps, doing a Q&A, ask me anything"? Have you?
I don't think so. Just bored in the car, guys. Ask away.
Yeah, got the cruise control on. Driving. Ask whatever you want.
I wouldn't even know how to sort of repost a question, who's asked it, and give an answer. So
I do get the whole thing. It's just my morbid fear would be that no one asks a question, and then people have said, people have seen you say, ask away, and then no one asks you a single thing, and it's like,
I might just post that later saying,
"Hey, Tweeps.
Hi, guys. Stuck on a train. Ask me anything," and then just not respond or reply.
"Hi, guys. On loo for next 40 mins."
"Hey, guys. At the STI clinic."
At the genitourinary clinic. "Hey, guys. On date night with my wife. Ask away."
"Just having chronic." what you want to know?
Yeah.
No, just, if I had a spare sort of 30, 40 minutes, I'd probably just go online and gamble. Play the slots. Roulette. Lightning roulette.
That's better. If I had a spare 30, 40 minutes, that's just not what I would do. Which is cool. People do different stuff. But it's like those end of season dinners where it used to be like at the club, where it used to be like, right, we're going to auction off every shirt or going to auction off every player for a table. Did it once. And we all stood on the stage. It's like, right, next up is flats. And it's like £12, £14. And it's like, oh, this is awful. You know, Butch James has gone for £3,000 and I can't raise, you know, a bag of crisps. So it's just like,
you know what you should do, like a real good way of raising money? You know, like you get people to stand up and you've got to get it down to like one or two for the prize.
Stand
and
up, that reverse auction. Yeah.
No, yeah, reverse auction. Now, if you went to an event with 200 people, 250 people, and you had a signed ball from whoever was on stage, let's just say Martin Johnson.
Yeah.
And what you'd say is, right, who would give me for a signed ball from Martin Johnson? Who would give me £100 and it's 250? No one sits down first, right?
No.
So what you've done previously is you've got Martin Johnson to sign 250 balls. And he said, right, who's going to give me £100? Sold.
Yeah.
You're done. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah. 25 bags. Yeah.
Yep. That's what I would do.
Is my maths right? I think so. I've only ever had I've done so many stand-up sit-down auctions, reverse auctions, as you can imagine, I've only ever had the nightmare scenario once. And whenever I do it, I say, now look, everyone, the pressure's on me here. This, you could actually really do me over here and stitch me up. And it's all a big laugh. But I once did one where it was like, right, we've got 15 of these things to sell to raise money for this charity. And at 900 quid, yeah, say it's 900 quid, we've got 35 people standing up. So you go from 900 to 1,000 and everyone sits down except four people. And I'm like, right. We've now got hardly any money compared to what we just had. Could everyone who was on 900 quid stand back up and we'll go up in small? And no.
Don't happen.
Nope. So you are screwed. You are screwed. And it's like, right, we've now made £4,000, not 30 grand.
Stand up, you pussy.
It's just like, it's just, yeah, it is. It's a, I mean, it's not a major, it's not something that costs me any sleep, but yeah, it's a thing.
What we should do is we should, when we're together next, which might not be for a while, we should just take a photo of ourselves and say, ask us a question.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah.
In the next 12 seconds, because we're leaving then. By the way, I was at Twickers HQ on Saturday for England Japan, and I was in the green room, and this bloke walked up to me, and he was a really nice bloke, and I know I'm retweeting praise again, but he said how much he liked the podcast and whatever, but he also said that his dad, Mr. Scarisbrook, was his name, and it definitely, he said, does that ring a bell from your school days? I said, it does ring a bell. He goes, no, you don't have to lie. If you don't remember him, you don't have to lie. I said, mate, fella, I'm not lying. It rings a bell, but I wouldn't know him if he walked in, but it rings a bell. Anyway, he was, I think, a teacher at my school. Anyway, and as that's this guy's dad. So he said, that's my dad. He was at your school. Remember him? And, you know, anyway, he said, I love your pod, because what I do is there's two sections to your pod. There's the rambling and there's the rugby bit. And I try and run a 5K run before you finish the rambling bit and get to the rugby bit. So I said, look, fella, our pods are too long sometimes, but we might try and string it out a little bit this next week for just you, to give you a bit of extra time. Because he'd had a few beers. He was on his first ever work do at corporate. So he was like hosting work. And he was like, he was on his best behavior, but all his colleagues had gone. So he was cutting loose on the Guinness. So he's probably feeling a bit dusty. But anyway, so we'll do our best, all right?
You have a tie around his head? It's always a good sign.
He was nude, which was inappropriate. But
why was he on his own? They just atmosphere.
He said everyone had gone, and he decided to stay and hang around.
Looking for friends like you.
Well, Haskell, yeah, exactly. Haskell did all the pre-match Q&A type stuff, and they said, you know, Haskell and others will be back post-match. And I can't do pre-match because I'm doing the telly. So obviously all of his work colleagues seen the game, come in for a drink, and they knew Haskell was coming back, so they'd all left.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, good choice.
Half hour of your life you never get back.
Yeah, it was just, you know, if you are a human being, he will offend you at some point. But he was great value. He was wearing a very small T-shirt, I'll say that. It was probably quite a big T-shirt, actually, but you know what I mean.
How's he enjoying fatherhood? Do you have a little chat with him? Both got fairly newborns, although yours is a little bit bigger now.
Mate, I'm not sure.
I say yours. Does have a name.
Doesn't have a name. But I think Hask has definitely met the baby because we've seen pictures. Mm. But otherwise, I don't think he's been home for a few months. I think
he seems
to work every day. You're making me yawn now.
Well, I'm so tired.
So am I. So am I. apparently, I committed the cardinal sin yesterday on ITV, where Hugh Woozencroft, our presenter, just asked, you know, look, how about the weekend? What a weekend of rugby. And I said, yeah, mate, it's been good. It's been knackering, but it's been good. And you're not meant to say you're knackered because
nope.
We're immune to fatigue.
Yes.
But yeah.
You're done, though, mate. You're done.
So are you. You had a busy one.
Not as busy as you. You've been flat out for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I just had travel nightmare. That's all I had. I think
I got to Devon for a few days. That's not flat out, is it? Anyway, go on then. Tell me about your logistics.
I was going to get the train down to... I was trying to work out the best way to get to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, North London. I didn't want to drive because I spoke to Sam Warburton, who went down, who's been down recently to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to watch
Spurs. He loves Spurs, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and he said it was just a nightmare. It took him like 4.5 hours. I thought, right, that's put me off. I'm not doing that. So I was kind of a bit fine. I thought, there's the first train out of Cardiff to London is 8:50 on a Sunday. Sunday trains.
Risky.
Get me in about 11 o'clock-ish into Paddington, and then an hour to get to White Hart Lane. I thought, that's doable. That's doable. I miss the brief at the start, but at least I can relax. And I had my eldest and her friend coming as well.
Oh, God, that's difficult.
Coming to watch.
So I was about to not interrupt, but I was about to say, get yourself into London, get a motorbike taxi.
Well, yeah. So got to Cardiff, went to Pret a Manger, had a bit of breakfast, got there early, got my meal deal from Tesco's, and I then got my own food from M&S, standard. And the train was delayed, and it wasn't saying when it was coming in. There was engineering works that carried on in Bridgend, and then eventually it showed to be an hour late. And I was like, no, this is kind of fine now. So made a decision, got in the car, drove to Bristol Parkway, where there was a train leaving at about 10 past 10. Made it, and then got to London. Train was so full. Luckily, we had seats, though. I would have got up, though, if there was someone elderly, but there wasn't.
Of course you would.
Or pregnant.
Yeah.
Or just looked like they're in distress.
Yeah.
And then got a taxi then from Paddington to White Hart Lane, which, and I got there in plenty of time, really. But no food, apart from a little snack I had from M&S. So I had to get a Cornish pasty, an extra large Cornish pasty from the Cornish pasty shop in Paddington, put it in my bag. I didn't want to eat it in the taxi because, you know, it's like it's crumbs everywhere. It's like, yeah, so imagine what your feet would look like when you take your socks off.
Oh, yeah. No, I have my feet done now, don't I?
So I got to the stadium, ate my Cornish pasty, and then did a little bit of rehearsal. And then the issue was, which I've never been before, just trying to get out of the stadium, trying to get back to Paddington. Got to train station and trains were full coming past. Two trains were full, couldn't get on. No one could get on. So no Ubers picking up. But eventually got one at a walk for about half an hour.
To find him.
Up the road. And made the 18:43 train, but then I had to get off at Bristol Parkway on the way back because that's where my car was.
Oh, God, Tom.
And then drive back from there. So it was an effort. Had I thought about it, I probably should have got a taxi from Cardiff to Bristol Parkway. But then I was worrying if the train was an issue at Bristol Parkway, I'd be stuck there. So anyway, logistical nightmare, but I made it. And what a stadium Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is. Again, had a couple of people come up to me and say, the podcast, they enjoyed
it. They like it, don't they? It's so weird because we don't do anything on it.
No. And I also had another guy come up to me to say, you don't remember me, but I anaesthetized you when you had a leg operation in London, Princess Grace Hospital, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Faris Haddad.
Yeah. It wasn't him. It was obviously the anaesthetist. But...
Oh, yeah. I mean, presumably Faris did your op.
Yeah. I didn't know what to say to that. I was like, oh, well, I'm still alive. Did you have a good look?
Yeah. Cheers, then. I had a similar one, not similar but different, at StoneX yesterday at Sarries. This bloke, I'm literally running across the field pre-match because we had to do the live game and film the highlights on the same day. So it's two completely different crews and one crew doesn't know the other and they both need you at the same time. And you'd sort of, it's fine, it's kind of organised, but you're legging it. And this guy's like, oh, can I get a picture of you in a Fez hat? I said, no, I'll come back, mate, but I've got to go. We're filming now. All right, mate. And this other guy's, flats. And I just, you've got to keep walking, running. Flats. And I was like, I turned around and said, I have to go. No, come here, flats, 1 minute. This really forceful guy. And he's like, we met at Twickenham. Cool. And I was like, I'm desperate not to be that prick who's rude to people. I am rude to people, but I'm friendly rude. I'm not actually horrible to people.
Sure.
I am. And I said, right, Twickenham. There's always people around. I was like, Twickenham, yeah. We met you at, we're having a beer at that Twickenham. I was like, oh, God. Oh, you were that guy that had the beer at Twickenham. Yeah, sorry, mate. There's 15 million of you, not ringing any bells. He's like, met you at that lunch. I said, mate, he's hanging onto my hand. I was like, let go of the hand, fella. What lunch are you talking? Let go. What lunch are you talking about? And in the end, it's like, oh, that thing for Doddy Whip. Right. You were having a beer at Twickenham. actually, you're in the Marriott at a lunch I did for Doddy Witt. Right. Okay.
Was it Johnny Gould? Was it Johnny Gould?
Yeah. He said, do you remember me? I said, nope. Sorry, mate. I don't lie. He's like, absolutely no recollection. You're a lovely man. You look very smart. Can you let go of my hand, please? I've got to go. And the crew are literally like, every time we move around the ground to film something, they're like, can you not talk to anyone, please? And it's like topsy flat, like it would be you. Shanks, you're walking around a Welsh stadium. It's just like,
I've mastered it.
You have to, you just have no choice but to just walk off sometimes. And it sounds awful, but I try not to. But sometimes I had two mates, Tom Richardson and Will Samler, two mates basically. One, yeah, they're friends, and they were standing right behind the commentary position at the weekend. And as I got up at half time at 39 minutes to leg it, hit headphones off, mic down gently so no one can hear it, leg it pitch side to get there.
Oh, it's the worst, mate. It's the worst. Awful.
And people are all getting up to go to the toilet and go to the bar. And this bloke said to me, Flats, come a photo. I said, nope, sorry, mate. I'll see you in a bit, but I got to go on telly. And they were just like, you big time prick. And I was like, okay, I know. Yeah. But
do you know what? That's the first thing I look at when I get a running order through is, am I doing halftime? Because if you are, it means you've got to leave like a minute before and you've got to rush down. You've got to put your earphones back in, get into position, get ready, think about what you're going to say. Whilst if you're not, if you can just sit in comms for 10 minutes, then you can just sip away on your water, have a couple of sweets, take your time and let your mind just relax. Otherwise, and you also don't have time to eat or go to the toilet.
Mate, Prime Video, when you do that, as you know, you get taken up from pitch side, get up to comms, and they drop you off. The girl said to me the other day, she said to me, would you like anything to drink at half time? I said, I would, please. I would love a water and a coffee, a flat white. No worries. And as soon, literally, half time arrives, I'm not going back down because they've got, you know, Dylan Hartley and Matt Gitto. They don't need me down there. So I was like, I've just got delivered a flat white and a little snack and a couple of Kit Kat Chunkies. I was like, oh, God. Depends on what channel, doesn't it?
Yeah, Prime Video, a little bit scared of showing my face. I can understand why. You know, it's been quite tired at the moment. So I just do comms.
But that means, presumably, you can do corporate stuff before the game, which we can
I do my own corporate stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So look, we don't want to be too crass about it, but it's double bubble, isn't it?
David, guess what? We've just had a cameo request in. We haven't done one for a while, so...
Is that still going, that thing?
Yeah, those that are listening. Yeah, we do. It's going to make someone's year.
By the way, just listeners, if we ever do cameos, right, we do them. And we just don't go on about it. Shanks will get the stuff in and he will send me the thing on WhatsApp and say, can you do this, please, fella? Can you do this? And then about a day later, it'll just be an arrow pointing up saying, this lad, this. I'm like, mate, and I just can't.
The good thing is I can always hear really what you say first. So I can just be horrible to you after.
Yeah, and I never know what you sent them.
No. they're all good. So anyway, yeah, we got one coming in. I don't want to mention it just in case they decide to withdraw the cameo because we've mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah, but don't do it.
We will be the second made millionaires in
after the clunge bloke.
After UK, after Jay from the in-between.
After Jay the clunge bloke. Jay the clunge.
Bound to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, I had a good night's sleep last night, Tom, you'd be pleased to know. But on Saturday night, I didn't because I did the Women's World Cup final on Saturday morning and then went straight to Twickenham and did England-Japan. All fine.
So hold on, you just skimmed through that. I saw a bit of the final. How was it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you want to do rugby
anyway,
chat?
Carry on.
Do you want to do rugby chat?
Oh, no, we'll save that. We'll save that. Yeah. Sorry.
I was thinking, so got... but long story short, my Mrs. best family friends were getting married in Sloane Square in London, right? Very posh.
Yeah.
So she went to the wedding during the day. We booked a hotel. She booked a hotel, a terrible, terrible hotel, terrible, on Sloane Street, which sounds great. It was horrific. And she booked the table. So I got a taxi straight from Twickenham to Sloane Street, got to this hotel for like 7:30, 7:20, something like that at night. literally walked in the door, all the lights are off because the tiny little room, the baby's cot, the baby is asleep in her travel cot at the end of the bed. Shh, yeah, see you later. She's straight out the door to the wedding to go and get pissed and dance. I'm with the baby. I'm going to log on and I'm going to catch up on all the Premiership rugby for the next day for the highlight show, because we had to start the highlight show. I had a 7 o'clock taxi taking me to the Stonex because we had to do the highlight show before and after the live game, right? Which was also an early kickoff, right? I know, I'm killing myself here. So it's so boring. So we get there. The baby wakes up 20 times because she's a baby. And all of the knobs who have supercars in Knightsbridge and Sloane Street around that area, they're up and down in AMG Mercs, Lamborghinis, Porsches, Ferraris, booting their cars.
That's like Porta Panus, is it?
Yeah, it's, mate, it's so ridiculous. You can't believe it. There was a matte black convertible Lamborghini Gallardo at the front of the hotel parked when I got there.
But that's Roger and Harry. He's got one.
Oh, there you go. So it was parked there. And then I had to go downstairs to meet my Deliveroo guy. Sorry about that. I was not getting room service. The hotel was rank. So got a Deliveroo, went downstairs to meet the Deliveroo guy on his scooter. And this bloke is standing leaning on the car with, he's on his phone. And I just said, is that yours, mate? And he goes, yeah, mate. Yeah, yeah. That's basically, yeah, I'm thrashing it. I should have got out of first gear, needed second gear, kept it in first. Yeah, something's gone. And he was like panicking. And it basically beasted his car up and down in first gear, showing off to, the street's empty. The street is empty. But he's booting it up and down. And anyway, he's knackered his Lamborghini. So I'm kind of sympathetic and I'm not. They also woke the kid up. And the kid woke up at 3. And that was it. So I was knackered, brutal early start. And I was like, about 3:30, I sat up in bed and I was like, F this. Got in the shower, packed my bags. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I was just sitting in reception at this hotel on a sofa, slumped, trying to close my eyes with my bags packed, coat on, shoes on, suit carrier packed at 4 in the morning. Couldn't get to sleep because she's screaming in our room. 5 o'clock, ting, the lift opens and it's my missus and the baby buggy packed up. And she's like, this is hell. I'm going home, because she didn't drink, luckily, at the wedding, because she knew she'd have a rough night. So she's like, I'm going home. Yeah, I'm going home. And they literally got in the car at 5 o'clock in Knightsbridge and the NCP and drove all the way back to Bath. And I went back to the room and lay on the bed with my shoes on, my coat on, everything on. Alarm went off at 7, straight to Sarah's. You're like, mate. So anyway, this is a terrible chat. I just wanted you to know that I... the whole notion of having like, oh, do you know what? Missus is out, but I'll have room service and chill on the laptop, hotel room in Knightsbridge after a big game, big day. Didn't happen, mate, and it was terror.
Mate, you got a baby. Nothing's easy. Unless you're on your own, then...
I didn't want to say I told you so, but I was like, straight away, don't take the baby to London. Pay someone to look after her overnight at home.
Don't have a baby.
That was my first idea.
There's nothing worse, mate. Remember I had it a couple of weeks ago, a gypsy wedding?
No.
Traveller's wedding in Manchester.
Yeah.
Just banging on the door all night. John Joe, Margaret, Tommy. I'm not making these names up. These were the names of who was in the room next to me.
Margaret.
John Joe. Princess. Margaret. Wake up. Oh, it's a nightmare. Absolute nightmare, and just ruins your day. But it didn't come across like that. It didn't come across like that. I've not heard you doing the co-coms for ITV, but it's David Flatman. It's going to be good.
No, it's going to be fine. No, I wasn't. I genuinely didn't feel tired doing any of the work, really, because it's you're only working for an hour and a half, aren't you, really? But, no, I really enjoyed it, but. Yes, there you are, mate. Look, and I went to the gym this morning, International Chest Day, but I woke up and I had a good night's sleep, Tommy, but I was just like, when you've got no energy, you've got no energy. So I went there, I got through it, but really didn't offer much.
I'm going to stop doing chest, I think. I think my chest is getting too big for the rest of me, so.
I might stop doing gut. It's getting too big. There's another gag there that I'll leave, but. I was thinking today, I've gone down to the gym and I've done 45 minutes of pretty average weights and I've literally worked on my basically nipples and above is all I've done.
That's all you need to do.
All I've got is nipples and above and calves. That's all I've got.
Great for headshots.
Yeah. And good. I'm good from the back in board shorts as long as it's bottom half only. No legs. Hammies. No hammies, bit of a gut, big love handles, but, you know, just a big, big heart.
If you took 4 foot away from me, from calves to nipple.
Kneecap to nipple. Great bloke. Hell of a specimen.
All right. Well.
Do you want to do an Andrew Cotter break?
Hold on. I just want to tell you what I've been watching.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you watch The Footballer, The Wife and the Crash?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Fine. I finished Rogue Heroes, SAS, which was good.
Was it good or silly?
I quite enjoyed it because a lot of it was based on true events. I'm going to watch a documentary as well out there about Paddy Mayne, Sterling, and the other one. I can't remember his name.
The originals, mate, they are.
Yep.
Legends.
But old Ben Backhouse, blast from the past, started messaging us the other night.
Benny Shithouse.
He was telling us about The Old Man on Disney, Seth Bridges. So crack on with that. Just think, what I really, really want to do to Jeff Bridges is I want to get a syringe, I want to stick it in his tongue and just withdraw whatever's in there a little bit because it's too big. It's too big.
You aren't going to like the kind of what you might call slack jaw pauses during this series then, because there's a lot of them. Like you feel like his bottom, you know, like his jaw, the bottom half of it is going to drop and never come back sometimes.
I'm looking at you now, right? Because we're doing this on Teams because we've had some technical issues. Yeah. And when you speak, I can see teeth and I can see a mouth. I can't see tongue. Every time Jeff Bridges and Harry Kane speak, all I see is this tongue, which
slug
is like a giraffe because they got massive tongues to be able to slip through all of the prickly brambles to get the leaves.
Yeah, clever buggers. Mm. Yeah, The Old Man came really highly recommended by loads of people on Twitter, and it is worth watching.
Well, how old do you think he's meant to be in it? 60? 65?
Mm.
And there was two FBI agents, which he is able to defeat using Steven Seagal tactics, you know, so just like close quarter combat. And I'm thinking, they're not even FBI, they're operators, you know, so they're ex-military.
Yeah.
So.
It's just, what I'll say is, you may as well watch it. And it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. It is not Gangs of London, which I realised. Remember years ago when I said that you had a podcast you recommended and I said it's so poor because it's just someone reading a script and it's really badly written script and they walk among us. And I got loads of hate tweets from the crime pod community saying we stick together. Yeah. You better watch it back. In this community. I'm like, I don't want to offend anyone, but Gangs of London was absolutely terrible. I don't want to mince my word.
Yeah, I watched it to the end. I didn't finish.
Mate, do you know what? Also,
from The Old Man, I'd love to find a friendship like he has with those dogs.
Yeah, me too.
My dog doesn't give a toss what I say. No. We're watching.
Tries to run away from you, mate.
I got recommended We Own This City, which I've just finished, which is good. True story, based on true events. Good. About corrupt police in Baltimore. Not amazing. Not a patch on the wire. It was fine. Didn't love it, actually. I thought I would and didn't. And a couple of episodes into The Mayor of Kingstown, which, weirdly, is the only program I've ever watched that I thought to myself, oh, my God, I'm getting old and going deaf. I can hear 50% of the words spoken in this TV show. Turned it right up, and we can't fucking hear it.
I hate that.
And my missus is the same. Like, it's not just me. We cannot hear a word they are saying, and it's starting to annoy me.
Do you know what scares you then? Because you've turned it up so loud. When there's music comes on, it just...
I'm constantly... I've got the remote in my hand for the whole show, turning it down and up. Mm. They start shooting people down. It's just a bit... It's annoyed me, unfortunately.
Edited poorly. Right, there we are.
Let's do our Andrew Cotter break quickly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thank you, Andrew, for that break.
Cheers, Cots. What up, mate? Look, can we... Look, do me a favour, Tom. This could end up being a really long pod.
It's not going to be. What I need from you first is I want you to talk me through the Women's World Cup and Ben Earl. And after that, we can just crack on with the Autumn Nations series.
Yeah, and we're not going to be long, are we? Because everyone knows. Right? The Women's World Cup final was absolute... It was a brilliant final. So there was drama at the start. There's a red card for England, and it's the right call, and it knocked out, you know, Lydia Thompson knocked out Portia Woodman, New Zealand's best, or one of the best players. Of course, they can replace her with Latia Langer, but they can't. But the England, you know, England down to 14, so you think they're up against it. England ultimately, England scored, Abby Dow scored in the semi-final against Canada, the best try of the whole tournament. Like, it was amazing. They went from behind their own post, only a six-point game in a semi-final. They went the whole length of the field. It was brilliant. However, that's not how they played generally. They've just done catch and drive, maul, pick and go, more. And who cares if it gets you to the final? But ultimately, they maul their way. And they, you know, anyway, it ends up being an even final because England are a woman down, whatever. Could they have won it? Would they have won it with 15? Maybe, but you don't know. Anyway, so... It boils down to, if you think about the semi-final, France-New Zealand, France did enough to win, had a penalty to win it, and Drouin missed the penalty that she would normally get, and it was brutal for her, and New Zealand went through because Drouin, the French kicker, missed a relatively easy kick, and so New Zealand got lucky. Last play of the game...
Like Italy-Australia at the weekend.
Yep.
A bit like that.
Yeah, exactly like that, mate. So that was amazing, because I was standing next to Matt Gitto when Topsy told us that Australia had lost, and he was so what a nice guy Gitz is, lovely man. So that happens, and in the final England basically get themselves in a position to win with the last play of the game, catch and drive in the corner. Now Abby Ward, I believe, calls the lineouts. She puts herself to the front, and this is like, I know you're a center, but you know this. So New Zealand, I mentioned it at half time, New Zealand for some reason just didn't compete at the line-out. They competed on the first line-out at like 60 minutes when Nangwu came off the bench, right? So they just didn't compete. They gifted England ball, gifted them tries. I'm like, what are they doing? At least jump. Like, even if no one can be arse lifting you, at least jump. Anyway, didn't compete. And then Abby Ward went to the front. She's obviously going to take a flat ball at two because it's the easiest throw, the lowest risk ball. And if you're going to drive, it doesn't matter where the ball is, right? Because the backs don't want it anyway. This is it. England go. It's like so predictable because they're knackered, high pressure and all that. Go up at the front. No movement behind to draw lifters away, to draw pods away, to draw anyone else's attention. No subterfuge, no choreography. Just basically a limp drill at two. And New Zealand picked it off and won the game. And it was like, it's ironic that New Zealand finally decided to compete. And stopped England winning the World Cup. So that it basically boiled down to a line-out drill that just wasn't good enough at the end. Well defended by New Zealand, but England just didn't perform the drill well enough at the end. And history was made, sold out Eden Park. So that was high drama. And then then watched Saracens Northampton yesterday. Saints are 22 points up. Sarries win it. There is a longer story. Go and read it in the newspapers if you want, but it's just the most amazing comeback. And like, first half, Saints were amazing. Second half, it was like someone literally pressed stop on their attack. They just stopped. And they had Salakai Lotto, the big lock. He got sin-binned. And as soon as he got sin-binned, they lost their best carrier. They lost probably their biggest hitter. They lost their biggest maul disruptor. And they start conceding from maul, you know, slash a pick and go, caught lineouts in the corner, missed him big time, conceded points when he was off, never recovered. And I've watched a lot of Premiership games in the last decade or so, Tommy. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player dominate a Premiership game like Bernal dominate the second half of that game yesterday. He was like, he was smashing people. He was jackaling. He was making clean breaks. He was making half breaks, passes, offloads. He didn't kick. Otherwise, he was 50 miles better than everyone else on the field. Like, absolutely freaky. And one other observation I made was that I don't think I've heard referees shouted at in a club game as much as I heard referees shout at the ref and assistant referees shouted at by Saracens yesterday. They were hammering them the whole day, bleating the whole day, and it started to really annoy Andrew Jackson, the ref. And rightly, I mean, it was just like, it was actually really bad. Brilliant players, lovely fellas and all that, but it was really bad and they need to stop it, I think. And on that, Rassi Erasmus is now posting more videos of calls that he thinks went, you know, of course there's biased refs and they're
some are right calls, but you can't do that. You can't just post from his position, start hammering refs.
Yeah, but it's like some of them will be right, some of them might be wrong, right? Mm. That's not the point. Like,
no, because things are missed in the game the whole time.
Yeah, I got a South African mate and I texted him, "What do you reckon?" He goes, "Well, is it wrong?" I was like, that's not the point. It's not the point if it's right. There are people who assess these referees.
Break down every game this weekend in the Autumn Nation series and post what are wrong calls. It's like, you know, Adam Beard won a penalty for Wales at the weekend, a jackling penalty. His hands were all over the floor. He wasn't supporting his own weight.
Happens, you know, mate.
All the time.
I think it is. It feels like almost like risky to say something because he's the sort of bloke. I don't know. Is he the sort of bloke that's going to find out who we are and pile into us and cause all of South Africa to rip into us? I don't know. But it's just, I think it is.
I wouldn't
so,
at the moment, mate. I'm tired.
Don't care.
You know, I'm.
I think it is so poor. It's so poor. It's so poisonous. I think it just, what it does is, there's a presumption that there's an inherent bias against South Africa, which I genuinely believe is bollocks. It's hard done by everything. It's not fair when they lose. It's sore losing. It's all that stuff. But what it does is it gives everybody permission, because he's at the top of the game, the world game. It gives anybody who wants permission to rip into the officials who literally cannot and will not ever put in immaculate performances. Because
yeah, but he's got form for it already. He's got form for it already.
They've got to bin him off again, mate. They've got to see him off again, because I think it's outrageous what he's doing. And it just so happens he's doing it to Barnsley. And we know Barnsley. He is, I think, probably the greatest ref there's ever been. Brilliant bloke. And the truth is, mate, I tell you what I think when I see it all. I think he needs dealing with, and properly dealing with. I then think, we know Barnsley well.
Like Jason Fox dealing with. Get him in.
But I think, I just hope Wayne Barnes is all right. Like, it must be horrific for him. And everyone says they're all right. And I actually hope he's all right. Like, I would hate that if someone did that to me. I wouldn't just laugh it off. I'm not someone who seeks confrontation. But
Barnsley should be confident enough. You know, he's done over 100 tests. And he gets a lot of praise because, I agree, mate, he's probably one of the best refs we've had on this planet. If you look at all his games and the way he refs games. So,
and any other planet.
Yeah, and any other planet in our solar system. So I think Barnes would be okay. I hope he is. Yeah. Anyway, well, I did send him a message, a voice note, to say, because I thought a voice note would be more personable than send him a text for his 100th cap as ref, and he didn't respond to it.
No, he blanked me as well.
He's in my bad books at the moment.
Having said that, I hope he's all right after what Erasmus is doing, and officially doing, indirectly doing to him. you know, having not replied to you or me, the bloke's a dick.
Ignorant.
So, never ignorant. We never respected him or liked him, did we?
He's above his pay station at the moment.
Yeah.
I might actually do a couple of videos myself.
Apparently, he's got his agent to send an email to World Rugby asking if he can attend all the Centurions dinners that they do with, like, John Smith and Richie McCaw. I should be included, and he wants a cap, and it's all really awkward, apparently.
They're going to
frame some combat trousers for him and all the lads to sign him.
Utility belt.
Yeah, right, let's rattle through these games, because everyone knows what happened. Capuzzo for Italy is amazing. I love him.
Yep.
Love him. I was just saying on Twitter before, like, this breakthrough player of the year that World Rugby are doing, Mac Hansen's got to win it, really, I think, because he's just been amazing, but...
He has been good, but I'm not sure.
For Italy, mate. Oh.
It's a lot harder to stand out in a team like Italy, because at least Ireland's attack is amazing. And Mac
the best
Hansen
team in the world, yeah.
Is a good player. And he is really good. And he gives Ireland... He's a different type of player. You know, he's always looking for the ball. He's always worked. He's a lot like Jack Noel, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, he's just hungry for it. But Capuzzo, mate, playing for a team that is improving and it's nowhere near the level of Ireland yet, I think you could argue that he probably should win it.
Yep.
Ever since his try against Wales.
Yeah. He was electric at the weekend. But also, good win for Italy against Australia. It just shows, when I watched France-Australia, I saw about basically 60 minutes of it, and I actually thought France were poor rather than Australia were brilliant. I thought France, I know they're great and all that, but I thought they looked quite poor in that Australia game. So, yeah, I mean, I think they flatter to deceive a little bit, the Aussies, on that. But
it was a gettable kick, though, for Australia. It was gettable.
Oi, Italy should play in Florence.
You should
all
see
the time.
There's
it's
been
so
a couple
good.
Of kicks like that the last couple of weeks. You know, Blair Kinghorn missed one, didn't he, against Australia. Now Australia have missed one.
Yeah.
So a bit of redemption maybe there. But great win for Italy. Like, that is huge for them.
Yep.
You know,
love it. It's great.
It just changes your mindset before games. Because all of a sudden you think, actually, you know, teams are beatable. We can do it.
You're right. I'm jumping around games now because you might have a list in your mind, but up yours, don't care. Wales, Argentina, obviously completely neutral, but reasonably pleased that Wales won that. But if only because I quite like the bragging rights, someone on Twitter basically said, so Argentina beat England, we beat Argentina, so we're better than England, and it's quite fun, all that, you know. But I didn't love the game, I got to say. Like the result, and the game just needed managing, really, and the ball needed punting a little bit in that second half, but it was... I didn't love it. I didn't think it was a particularly high quality game. Did you?
No, it wasn't overly exciting, but it was huge in terms of pressure for Wales. Mm. Not so much on Argentina. Now Argentina, they've had some big wins this year. They've beaten Australia in the Rugby Championship, New Zealand, England at home. What I did love, though, what did please me was it was good to see Lewis Rhys-Samet at 15. He missed the captain's run, so everyone was slightly nervous whether he was going to make the starting lineup or not game day. And that would have had a massive effect on the game because Anscombe probably would have had to go to 15. Rhys Priestland would have had to come into 10. So two positional changes. And the first thing Rhys-Samet does, runs the ball back and runs it back well. And he's just got such good feet and good footwork before contact and a huge amount of pace, and he's big and he's strong, that he can get himself out of trouble. But I thought he was quite decisive in what he wanted to do. Like, he knew when he wanted to kick, so he kicked it. You know, sometimes 15s can get in two minds, and that's when they get turned over, and that's when they
especially
run
runners like him. Yeah.
Yeah, they run into trouble. But he was good, and it gives Wales a bit more of an attacking threat because he's no doubt one of the best runners with a ball in hand, but probably doesn't see it enough at 15. So wingers catch the ball a lot in backfield, throw it into your 15, and that's where the space is. And to see him with space and time in front of him, I think, was good. Something that we have been missing in Wales recently. So that was good. Discipline at the start was pretty bad for Wales, and Buffelli nails two penalties. Then Wales were trying to get back into the game, and they had two lineouts, 5 metres out. One was lost, the other nothing came of, and Wales get another penalty then. I'm thinking, right, this is probably, you should probably go for goal now, you know, try and get something on the board. 30 minutes had gone, and it didn't. They went for the driving line out, and it came off big time. And a big call from Justin Tipperick, right call though, because they scored a try for him, and Faletau scored a try, and that got them back in the game. Then there was Malaya, who had plenty of time to kick the ball, mishit it, kicked it straight into Tomos Williams, and gifted Wales a try. Yeah. You know, Wales didn't have to work hard for that, but sometimes you need luck in games. Yeah. Sometimes you need the ball to bounce your way, to ricochet your way.
He did play well, Williams, and he did chase it down hard, so he made his own luck, didn't he?
He was really good. He was one of the top performers.
Yeah.
As was Faletau. Tipperick was immense.
Like Tipperick, man.
Yeah. Defensively, amazing, though, is where they really nailed it. They scored two tries, but Argentina came at them with a lot of power. They weren't too great behind. They weren't as good, as clinical as they were against England behind, you know, especially from set piece. But they still got a lot of power, and they still got a lot of big runners, and they were just knocked back. And there was some huge defensive effort from Wales. So Gethin Jenkins had got them emotionally right. We needed a reaction. It's just a shame that you needed last week against New Zealand to get them to this level to perform. George North was excellent defensively. Didn't have too much to do in attack, but made some really good reads at 13 of jamming in. A couple of issues. We lost Dan Lydia. We lost Will Rowlands. They look like they're going to be out for a long time. But Jack Morgan came on, and
he's good old boy, mind.
So good. Doesn't look big, like compared to other, but the amount of power to weight ratio he's got, I think, it is really huge. And yards after contact, so taking the ball in, driving with the legs, and just working those extra sort of 3 or 4 meters makes a huge difference. He made a big impact when he came on. Gareth Anscombe goes off fairly early, but Rhys Priestson comes on, and that was all about game management, because Wales were in the lead and did exactly what he needed to do. Saw the game out, kicked well, didn't mess around. 2 or 3 phases, ball's gone straight away. So all in all, it was a good performance. Gareth Thomas was another good performer. Lou said some good carries.
He defended well, I thought.
Defended really well, as did Ken Owens. So it was a big effort from Wales to beat Argentina. They needed a reaction. They did it. Move on now to Georgia, and then the climax against Australia at the end, which is a game, at the moment, you'd say they should win.
Question.
Talk. Go on.
Is Alan Wynne-Jones done?
He was left out, and that wasn't through injury. So, not sure. Not sure at the moment. At some stage, though, they're going to have to start looking at other younger players coming through, because he's not in a starting position. You know, you're going to go with Will Rowlands and Adam Beard at the moment. So
Will Rowlands is injured, of course, but so it's high-defensive at the moment. Yeah,
so we'll see what happens. Maybe Chris Tashunza might come in at 6 at the weekend, see what he's like. I know he's been scoring tries for Exeter, but Wales don't play like Exeter. That's the issue. So he's able to hang around a lot in the wide channels and use his pace and power that he's got for such a big man. Wales don't play like that, nor do you get time and space like that at test level rugby. But I think they need to have a look at him. There will be a few changes. Maybe Owen Watkin might get a bit of a run. Sam Costello might have a shot at 10. We might see Josh Adams at 15. But I don't want them to make too many changes. But on the flip side, they need to make changes for people to get runs.
I want them to make loads and have a go. That's what I want.
And a bit, but
stick the youth team in there, mate.
Anyway, much better place.
Good.
Wales,
well done, Wales. That's
this
good
time last week.
We like that.
Talk me through. I mean, look, Ireland, Fiji was always going to be that way. Ireland just play too much rugby, too smart, too intelligent
comfortable,
in attack.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Take the power game away from Fiji and attack with numbers as they do. Yeah. So comfortable win for them. Munster beat South Africa A, which I thought was a big result for Munster, because they've been struggling this year, Flats, in the URC. And
happy
it was
for Graham Rowntree to get that.
Yeah, group. Real poor start to the season, but that's the type of game that will turn their season around. England, Japan, 52-13.
England in a much better place defensively. They were really good off the line, really hungry. couple of penalties for offside, which don't really mind because it, you know, is a bit, they're desperate to chop down, to take away space. I thought Japan were really disappointing, really underwhelming. They looked great against New Zealand's second team, mostly a second team 2 weeks ago, and we saw very little of that. There was some nice interplay, a couple of little patches of it, but really ultimately quite disappointing. They got battered at set piece. England have got a lot of power. Sam Simmons is a good carrier, but geez, he defended well against Japan. He's got beautiful tackle technique, big power, knocking people around. He was really, really impressive. The main conversation really is around whether Smith-Farrell at 10-12 works. And it doesn't matter what anyone thinks, it's going to continue. But I think it looked better. I do think it looked better. But I just wonder if Farrell taking it relatively flat and stationary and pulling it out the back to Smith is going to be a bit predictable. Like, I think about New Zealand this week and I think they look vulnerable. They look there for the taking. We'll talk about Scotland in a sec.
It's not predictable if you carry it and you hit the short option. Yeah. That's how you become unpredictable, because you take different options every single time.
Yeah, so if your decoys, like, it's like when Argentina scored against England last week, the decoys were so aggressive that you had to stick on them, and there's so much space because of it. But England looked better in attack and wouldn't be fluid. I kind of like the idea of, having said Marcus Smith should start every game for the rest of time against New Zealand, I would be, Eddie Jones almost definitely won't, but I'd be quite tempted to go Farrell to Alangi Slade, because it feels like such a good balance, but that won't happen.
So you think get rid of Marcus Smith now for the big game?
I think give him 25 minutes, 30 minutes at the end. Yeah, I do actually. Or put Farrell on the bench, but that just seems infinitely less likely. So either or.
So you don't think Marcus Smith is number one for England?
I think either of them could be, but you've got a guy playing his 100th test who's a double or triple lion, whatever he is, who's won so much, I think, in a game like that. And he's in good form. I thought Owen Farrell played really well against Japan. So I think if I was picking the team, I'd be tempted to do that. But I think that won't happen.
You'll have Jordy Barrett at 12 and you have Rico Ioane at 13, two big carries. And you've got Caleb Clark as well on the wing, who is Quadzilla. A beast. Yeah.
But I mean, New Zealand they looked really good in the second half against Wales. They looked, I thought they were really poor. I actually thought it's one of the worst New Zealand teams I've watched in quite a while this weekend. And doesn't mean they're going to be poor next weekend. They still didn't look appalling or anything like that. But the standards we've come to expect over the last generation or two, they weren't really at it. But England looked improved, ultimately disappointing from Japan. Because I was, you know, as a rugby fan, I was quite excited about watching them play. And they didn't really do a lot. There you go.
Scotland,
mate, because I'm doing the Saris game, and on the big screen you've got Scotland New Zealand on, and then you think, come on. And I said to the other guys in the crew, I was like, they won't win, they'll go close and lose at the end, and New Zealand won't have to do much to win it, and I hope I'm wrong. And I got in the car to come back, and I was in a taxi so I could watch it on my phone, and put it on and just like, oh no, and nearly men again. Gutted.
Is that the closest opportunity they'll get for a long time?
Yep.
Do you know what I would? Stuart Hogg, brilliant bit of individual brilliance, kicked through, and it was given as a penalty try. I wish you could give that try to Stuart Hogg.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a penalty try. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because he did everything.
Yeah.
You know, it should have been his try. And it won't be remembered as his try. It'd be a penalty try. But he created that try from nothing. Mm. Just a great bit of vision, great bit of pace. That was my first bugbear. But you're right. You know, Scotland looked really good. Probably the best I've seen them play for a while. No shock that it's involved Finn Russell.
Yeah.
The pack looks really good. The pack looks strong. they look like they've got some quality players behind. Darcy Graham is...
He's fab, isn't he?
He's first on the team sheet. There's a couple of firsts on the team sheet. But
can't have a couple of firsts, mate.
Yeah, there are. There's Finn Russell, there's Darcy Graham, Stuart Hogg.
Let's say they're automatic selections. Van der Merwe. You can't have four firsts. You can't.
It's my pod.
You can't write four things at the same time.
All right. Well, you're picking me up on a technical issue here. But you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying, boy.
Okay. They have to be on the team sheet together.
Yep.
So there's some quality players there. The yellow card had a massive effect on the game for Scotland. You just can't tackle like that. See it all the time. All the time. See loads of tackles like that. There's one against Argentina. It should have been a yellow card. If that's a little bit further out for Argentina, then it's given as yellow. This one was given as yellow. It's exactly the same, really. I think it was Jack Dempsey, wasn't it? Got yellow carded.
Yep.
You know, it is a yellow. You can't tackle like that. It's not the right way to tackle. Your arms are coming out. You know exactly what you're doing. You're trying to stop the ball. You arrive a little bit too late. You think, oh, he's going to get the ball away now and have to move my arms up. And when you have time like that to think, you do. And it was the correct call and ultimately led to New Zealand scoring.
Yep.
So I feel really sorry for Scotland because I was covering the All Blacks 15 and Barbarians 15. And myself and Rory Hamilton, who were commentating, you couldn't help but checking your phone now and again to see the score.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, this is it. This is it. But they had a 9-point lead nearly with 20 minutes to go. But you just know New Zealand are going to come back. They are going to come. They're just too good. There's too many good players in their squad, like one-on-one, that can make a difference. Ardie Surveyor.
Rico Ioane came off the bench and was just
TJ Perenara as well.
Different gravy. Yeah, just different gravy. And you're like, well, there's only so much you can do about that. It's a bit like when I was commentating on Sarri's yesterday. I was like, at one point, I think I said something inane on the TV. And I said, what you've got is you've just got brilliant players doing simple things really well. Like there was Sean Maitland scored this one try from counter-attack. And it wasn't like anything was really on. It was like Alex Good gets the ball, has a little look, and Elliot Daly shouts for a miss pass. He gives it to him. Elliot Daly just gasses two people on the outside, two on one, Maitland in the corner. Like, this is not a complicated try. It's just a team. It's just these lads are better at that point. You just got better players at some point. Like
100%. Like, they
kind of what it is.
That's why they're paid big money and they play at Saracens, because they are better at executing that type of skill than others.
Because
not everyone can do it.
Yeah.
So I did feel for Scotland, but
yeah, gutted actually. I was at the back of the taxi. I was like,
All Blacks, the All Blacks. Yeah. Anyway, the Barbars game was good. I think it was 10 tries all in, 5 tries each.
Yep.
Typical game. Exactly what you see. What you
tell
expect.
Me about Zach Mercer, mate.
I gave him player of the match. Like, I'm not sure if that's the first time I've seen him play live, because I wouldn't have covered too many games for Bath or Montpellier. But I was so impressed. I was like, you know, when you watch Ardie Surveyor and you get impressed by his footwork and his power.
Yeah.
Exactly the same when I was watching Zach Mercer. Like, yeah, it took him 3 attempts to score. First time he dropped the ball over the line. Second time, Joe Marler scooped it back in a scrum with his hand, which Luke Pearce eventually saw. And then the time after that, clean strike in a scrum, picks up, runs over 9 and 10. But he's got the power to match the footwork. So it's not like he's lightweight. You know, he's got so much explosiveness in his body and his leg drive. And because you look at him, you think he's not the biggest.
No, he's not.
Number 8. But it doesn't really matter.
Ardie Surveyor's not a huge man.
Yeah,
Balotau's not a huge man.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And yeah, he got player of the match because everything he did was he dominated contact and he was brilliant all game.
He's relentless, mate.
He got it. But they nearly lost it, the Barbars. All Blacks had a line out. All Blacks 15 had a line out 5 metres out, last player of the game. And Loray jumps up in the middle, knocks it back. Barbars last for another minute, picking it going, kicking the ball out and won.
Oh, the old bugger.
Anyway, that's on Viaplay if you want to watch that. And then we just have to really quickly touch on France, South Africa.
Because
it was a lot. It was a lot like New Zealand, Australia in the rugby league.
I haven't seen that. I'm going to watch that later.
That was just one of the best things I've ever watched. This game was brutal. I know you can say that about a lot of games, but I've not seen collisions and power like these two before. And look, Steph de Toit was a red card, clearly red. I wouldn't say he's a dirty player.
No, it's a bad red, though.
It is a bad red. It's the first red he's had. He wasn't looking where he's going, but he knows what he's doing. He knows he's leading with the head. And there's a chance that you're going to make contact with someone else's head. Had to be a red, he'd be banned for a long time. But it's the first red he's ever had. So it's not like he's got history behind it. So I think that needs to be taken into account. Second one was a red as well. More of an accidental red from Dupont. Just loses the ball completely because his back is turned, which is exactly what you want from the kick. You want players to lose the ball in the air so they can't see it. Takes a man out. And we've also touched on Razzy Erasmus with... his videos.
What do you videos. Think?
I don't like it at all. I think maybe he has got some points, and maybe you look at one of the French tries with the double movement. I can't remember who scores it, but it could be viewed as double movement. I initially thought that's not a try because it looks like he crawls over the ball and it's not immediate placement. But it's subjective, isn't it? And other refs will look at that and give it. So you see him given and you see him disallowed.
Yep.
So depending on whichever team you support, you'll go along with that. But it was some huge carries in that game. And I was watching it and wincing a lot of the time, thinking, this is why I'm so glad I don't play rugby anymore.
Yeah, it was, the only word for it is horrific. It's like, oh my God. At one point, I player cammed Anthony Gillon, who got player of the match in the end, French back row, just for a couple of minutes. And he was carrying, absolutely pasted. Like, it reminded me of in Superman, where, is it one of the baddies gets that drain cover and like throws it like a frisbee and like smashes Superman into a wall, or was it the other way around? I can't remember, but it's like he's been hit by a car. And then the South Africans carry, and he's hitting people, and it's like they've been hit by a car. Like, it's just savage. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, these hits. Etzebeth in the middle of everything, man. Like, he is not a fake hard man. All this posturing and shoving people around, that's a load of rubbish. That means nothing. He is a proper hard as nails.
That is exactly what I'm like at home with my kids.
Abrasive as frig.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've done it. Well done for us. Yeah. Job done. Hope the videos stop. Don't love those. Anyway, well done, Tom. Long pod, but we're great guys, yeah?
Yeah, we are. And now we can just yawn away because we've been looking at each other.
Yeah, battling.
It's been a lot of yawning.
Battling, yeah.
But you've done well. You've kept the energy high, mate. Well done. Who have you got this weekend? Who have you got this weekend?
England, New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The big one. What day? What time is that?
Saturday, 5:15, I think. You're doing Georgia. Is yours earlier?
Yeah, 1 o'clock. Perfect, which means I'll be able to get home by 4-ish.
Straight on the lash, is it? Oh, you can listen to me, can't you, mate?
No, not this weekend.
You can listen to me, can't you, mate?
I'm going out for Beaujolais Day on Thursday. So.
Oh, I was talking about during comms, towards the end of the game, I was talking about Tom Curry, and I accidentally said... Sam Curry. Tom Curry. No one noticed except Sam Curry. You know Sam Curry. Our mate, the producer, complete accident.
Yes.
So he's a mate that I work with a lot in the UK and lives in Oz now in Sydney. And I actually met up with him when I was over there in July doing the England tests. And I accidentally said Sam Curry. And he got married last week. So well done, Cuzza. But he sent me a text saying, I gather that was a wedding present. You've taught me, you've given me player of the match or something. I was like, yeah, all right, mate. Sorry. But no one noticed
I've done a couple, mate. At one stage, I started calling Darcy Graham Darcy Russell for a game. And then John Barkley managed to copy that off me and did the same. And then Gareth Hardy, Buff.
Yep.
Yeah, Kieran Hardy.
There's a reserve prop for New Zealand, the Black Ferns, a women's team called Crystal Murray, and she's like absolute baller, right? She does all this great stuff. And I kept saying to Nick Mullins before he commentated on the game, I was like, do not call her Crystal Meth, because it's Crystal Murray. I was like, do not call her Crystal Meth. Oh, Crystal Meth. She's one of my favourite players, Crystal Meth. He didn't buckle, of course he
did. Too professional, mate.
Too good. No, he's too good.
Anyway.
All right, well done, lad.
Long on this. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.